Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host, Han Tran. Han, how are you this evening?
I'm doing wonderful, Jim, simply wonderful. How about you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Considering, obviously, the situation that we in the country are in and everything that's going on regarding the virus and the various opportunities and situations that we're all facing. Welcome, of course, to Straight Talk. This is episode number 66. And tonight we felt pretty fitting that it basically our topic is one of a bunch of questions. Questions from you, our listeners, and obviously we'll try to get through as many of them as possible. Some are very, well, let's just put it this way. They deal with what, you know, we're all dealing with, and it has to do with the Wuhan coronavirus situation. And I guess, Han, we're doing the ultimate of separation, aren't we? You know, you're down in Florida, several thousand miles away, and I'm up in Ohio. So we're about as separated as we can do. And, you know, we don't have to worry about giving it to each other or and anyone else around us. And I guess this is the perfect opportunity for, you know, our listeners to kind of listen where we're at and what's going on. And, you know, we're here to answer any of those questions. So please feel free, you know, send them in. We love them. We like these shows, don't we, Hunt?
Well, yes, of course. It's a lot of time it challenges. It's just a question. Not that I want to challenge anybody to jump us, okay? Our knowledges do have limits. But a lot of the question challenges us to think, beyond the normal things that we do.
Yeah, you're breaking up, Han. I'm not quite sure if it's a... Yeah, it's a connection and situation, but we'll try to muddle through it here. Well, obviously, one of the first topics at hand that we wanted to kind of talk about and actually alert all your listeners to what we would hope to be doing here in the new future is the whole topic of air scrubbing and the air scrubbing technology and how it relates to the dental office, what it has to do with the dental plan, what it has to do with the facility, just what's out there, what's available, what's the technology that's in place that can be utilized that, maybe we've not really looked at or taken advantage of, but now it comes to the forefront because of what we're dealing with. And, I know, Han, you said there's been a kind of an active discussion on the Dentaltown forum about what's going on and to what level things do need to be cleaned or that kind of stuff. So you want to talk a little bit about that and what your thoughts are? And obviously, we're hoping to get an expert in the field as maybe the next show or the show after to really pick their brains on what's available and what's out there. But Han, what are you hearing? What are you seeing?
Yeah, let me share a few thoughts. First of all, I think most of the discussion that I talk about in Dentaltown has not gotten to the specific what to do with a building and things.
Hey,
like
Han,
that. More
Han, we're losing every other word. It's even getting worse and worse. Do you want to try calling back in and see if that makes for a better connection?
Let me call you back in and see if, let me try that.
Okay. All right. Call right back in. While we reconnect with Han, obviously, you know, we've got a situation that the design of your facility whether it's an existing one or whether it's going to be a new facility or whether it's going to be something you're looking to renovate, is obviously going to be impacted with what we have available and what kind of technology is here. All right, here's Han again.
Hold on, Jim.
Okay,
can you hear me
there,
okay?
Han? Yeah, I can hear
you.
You're still a little, yes, you're a little garbled, but go ahead.
Yeah, so anyway, the discussion that I have read so far really are focused on more on the financial impact of closing down the office, you know, due to the virus you know, pandemic. There have not been any discussions that I'm aware of in terms of the proactive step that each individual practice is going to take. Of course, that, you know, that's coming. We on our end, we have already initiated the conversation. You know, we have already initiated the discussions of what to do with the facility that our, you know, our dentist partner have, and what can be done and things like that. And so we are at the, you know, at the infancy stage of the discussion. I myself have had project experience to deal with clean room application and things like that, and I don't think it's necessary to go that far. But what we're talking about is air filtration and air scrubbing of dental offices. And I can see already, you know, just kind of things that run through my mind of the things that we can do, should do, must do, in the way that their facility is designed and built. So the majority of the offices that we have seen, the modern dentist office anyway, are open in terms of airflow. You know, there is a number of characteristics in a dentist office that that are hard to remedy without making it more like a you know, like a tight vault, where you no longer have that approachability between the between the public, the patient, and the staff, continuity between the public area and clinical area, and things like that. I can see that if you want to, you know, if you want to invest the money or buy or implement technology into the building. Okay, you know, into the building, so that you can achieve a certain level of success in you know, in meeting all the requirement for functionality, efficiency, and being able to do all that good stuff. Okay, so one of the things that we had always advocate for in the way we design our building is because here we talk about basically indoor air quality and how to improve the quality of the interior space so that we can be at the forefront providing and protecting the occupants of the building. One of the trademarks in all of our design is the implementation of a vestibule. I can do, you know, we can do an entire episode on the pros of having one versus not having one, okay? But it's going to drastically change. This is my opinion. It's going to drastically change the way that this office will be designed, the physical space, as well as the mechanical system that's going to service the building. And so we don't have any statistics that we can share, but I know this is a discussion that will be that have started. And if you haven't thought about it, this may be an opportunity to at least visit. If you have an existing building, retrofitting it, it's you will be limited to what you can do. If you are in the process of constructing or building a new office, you may revisit and sit down and really look it over and see how it can be rearranged, modified, so that it meets some of the requirement. I don't believe that there's any legislation that's going to come down and mandate you have to do a certain thing, but taking a proactive step to look at how your space, how your office is designed, and make the necessary change so that you can compartmentalize your building. So that way you can at least address the critical area, like the clinical area where all the aerosol particles are generated, because it's going to cost money, okay? But the technologies, the implementation of the actual physical space should be looked at. So if you are in the planning stage of designing it, a new office, this is the perfect time to design a building that will be at the forefront of all the things that everybody's trying to catch up to. Jim?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, obviously, there's a lot to be done and a lot to be talked about, and we want to hear from the experts, you know, not what you or I or others might be saying or theorizing. You know, we're going to get an expert. We're going to get that information from them and share it with you, because this is a new frontier with all the, you know, that is being thrown at us as a country and, of course, as a world. Now, the concepts, I'm sure they've been out there, and this stuff has been solved before in other environments. When I talk about other environments, I'm talking about, you know, the manufacturing environment of stuff that has to be extremely clean and sterile. The obviously the healthcare environment where, you know, you got surgical suites and that kind of stuff. So there's technologies out there. It's how do they get implemented into the dental or the arena? You know, how do you take those technologies and make them work for what you're accomplishing and your needs, but at the same time make them affordable so that, you know, you're not looking at something that requires a double airlock and sealed hazmat suit and all the particulars that you might have in a manufacturing facility or in a high-end whatever that requires that. You know, obviously that's overkill for what you need or would like to have, and obviously it makes for a very difficult patient relation, you know, patient-doctor relationship.
You don't want to. So our you desire, don't want to scare them any more than necessary.
Yeah, exactly.
You right? Know,
yeah, without a doubt. But at the same time, this has to be addressed because I've been told, and it's my understanding, and this is coming from the medical professionals that I deal with, that this is going to be around for, you know, years. We're probably going to be dealing with this for 2 to 3 years in some fashion or another. I mean, one doctor told me that we'll eventually all get this virus at one degree or another over the next 3 years. It's just a matter of when and how severe. It kind of like, you know, the flu virus goes on and on and on and on, mutates and changes, but you know, every year it comes out to one degree or another. Well, it's the same thing. This thing's going to be around, and we're going to have to deal with it. It's going to be one of those issues that we're going to have to just find a way to work with and deal with. So,
yeah. And Jim,
our hope is we're really going to try. Yeah, we're really going to try to get that professional in next week, if at all possible, and really get into, you know, spend a whole hour talking about this stuff. Because it's, you know, it's timely. It needs to be addressed right now. I mean, we might be talking to a whole bunch of dentists who, you know, basically have been asked to shut their practice down for a while. Now, that's got to be a scary proposition.
Dr. Hunsinger, the H in HAT, I spoke to him this morning. He said that he already, actually, I spoke to him yesterday. He said that he has shut all of his offices down. And he brought something that I guess we never took into consideration, is that there, as a dentist, you're not working, just simply working in a, in a dental office. You are working literally, your work zone is really about 16 to 18 inches above the face of your patient, if not closer. Okay, so you're right there in the war zone. It makes sense that you're, makes sense to at least kind of step back and see how things can be addressed and how severe it is. But you are right there. We can walk into that social distance jargon that everybody's using and say, I just got a text from the state here to say that, the recommended distance is 6 feet. Okay, that's basically, my gosh, think about if the restaurant's open, and to keep it, per recommendation, your food server would throw a plate at you, okay, 6 feet away. We can't, our world function at a lot closer capacity than that. So, but from a dentist, because you are right, you're right on top of it. So, this is just fresh off the table. We don't have any answer, not yet anyway. But it's certainly an opportunity to revisit and look at what you have, and if there's anything that can be done. We're not talking about a perfectly, sterile bubble, okay? We're talking about what you can do to further protect, yourself, your staff, and the patient that comes to your office. Maybe a cleaner environment in terms of air quality wise and things like that. There is no possible way to protect any of us from everything. Okay, but minimize it. I think it's a worthwhile effort. Jim?
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, let's jump into the next question, which is semi-related to, and it comes from a doctor saying, he's experiencing a shutdown right now, and is wondering, what or should I do with the project renovation that I was in the process of beginning? Well, this could be one of those scenarios where you say make lemonade out of lemons, or it could be, it's on a case-by-case basis because we don't really know what or how long his practice or your practice is going to be affected by this. And obviously, if you're in the throes of having to slow down or minimize your hours or even shut your practice down for a period of time, that's a scary time. And so, probably the last thing on your mind is this renovation project that I have going on, or the thinking about, should I even look at renovating or should I do something? That's probably the very last thing on the mind that you have. But in reality, this is a golden opportunity. It is a golden opportunity to at least begin the planning process. Now, obviously, you're no longer tied to seeing patients, so you have a little bit available time. So it is a really good time to begin that process, or at least the thinking of, if you had thought that maybe I should investigate doing something. Well, now is the time to do that. You have a little bit available time. You can prepare for, and if it's minimal, you might even be able to get it accomplished in this downtime. And when I say minimal, I'm talking about, maybe if you're moving a couple walls here or there, or if you're doing some cosmetic stuff, or if you're looking at redoing your carpets or your floor finishes, or adjusting some of the equipment, those kind of things, you've got an opportunity. But without a doubt, you know, take advantage of it. It won't hurt you. And then all of a sudden, when it's time to go, you've already got that behind you, and you really can move forward very quickly with whatever you're trying to accomplish. What do you say, Han?
Hey, Jim, you brought up a good point. I mean, whether it's, you know, yes, it's an opportunity. There's a lot of our clients, Dennis' client, when we ask them, okay, you need this, you need that, how long can you afford to shut down to get that done? And usually the answer is, I prefer not. I like to still seem patient while we turn the office upside down, rework the plumbing system, the heating system, the electrical system to give me an additional 4 or 5 treatment rooms. Okay. The real world of how things work doesn't work that way. But if you have been contemplating, you know, a fresh coat of paint, new flooring, things like that, those things, the cosmetic work usually doesn't require permit, but it does require some downtime. Take advantage of the opportunity to do that now. If you feel that you need more extensive work, planning is everything, because it takes time. The discussions I have with a manufacturer that deals with air filtration and air scrubbing equipment, and I say that the demand for the equipment is great, so everybody's getting in line to get the equipment. Mechanical engineer that we work with pretty much overwhelmed with the demand of looking, analyzing the building for a number of other things besides this virus development. So supply and demand is going to be one of those things you're going to run into, but planning is everything. May not be able to do it tomorrow or the day after or the week after, but at least you have some idea what it is you're trying to want to achieve. So when you have the opportunity to, you can pull the trigger, okay? But planning is everything. So we encourage you to do that. Take advantage of that, this opportunity, and check into things that you want to accomplish with your facility so that you don't miss that, you don't miss the chance to do that. So, Jim?
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, obviously, you're not going to be able to get through a major renovation project. Get it designed, get it drawn up, get it permitted, and start construction in the next couple, 2-3 weeks. If we're lucky and we can get through this, and it only has a couple, 2 or 3 week duration, that's just not practical. But nobody knows, I guess. Nobody really knows just how long this is going to take. Is it going to take 2 or 3 weeks? Is it going to take 2 or 3 months? Hopefully not that long, but we don't know. But like Han was saying, it's a golden opportunity to at least begin the planning process. It's that investment of that planning process never goes away. That's a great investment because you have it, you're ready. So when you are able to do something or are able to move forward, you can jump on it pretty quickly and take advantage of this downtime. So, I don't want that to come off as a self-serving answer, because obviously that means, you need Han and I and people like us to do that kind of work. And, go back to our podcast from last week when we talked about, the architect and the designer and who you should be talking with. But at the same time, a good opportunity. And I'd say a pretty good question for someone to ask, even though I'm sure they're dealing with the issues of, what do I do because my office is shut down for this period of time. Let's see. We have one. If you remember, several weeks ago, we had a product rep interview by the fellow by the name of Mr. Mark Bly with Z Innovations. Z Innovations was that system slash product that was a cleaner slash sterilization system that was a non-corrosive, non-alcohol based product. And he sent me a note that he would like everyone to be confirmed, because the questions are being asked of him. Does the product combat the coronavirus? And the answer is, he got, they have technical data and verification that in fact the product does kill and combat the coronavirus. And as he said in his email to me, was that the great thing about it is it you know, combats it, and then it continues to combat it over the multiple days, because the product is one that doesn't just kill on contact and then evaporates like alcohol. So go back and listen to that podcast, and he said, feel free to call him. And he asked if I go ahead and throw his number back on the airway again, which is 419-466-9406 for anybody that might have any questions or what to do or how to get a hold of them or how to get a hold of the product, if that's something that you would like to maybe investigate or take advantage of. Juan, did you want to say anything about that?
No, I'm good. I mean, I think there's a lot of discussion about cleaner that has negative effects on on the dental chairs and stuff like that. I mean, think about spending thousands of dollars on a chair, and you are you're required to to clean it and sterilize it and all that good stuff, and you discover that a year or two down the road that the nice finish wrapping on the chair have been broken down and could become brittle and all that stuff. So yeah, there's always there's product out there that could do the job and doesn't have a negative impact on your chair and equipment. Check into that. So Z Innovation sounds like a product that could meet your requirement. Plus, if it kills the coronavirus, it's an absolute plus. Jim?
Yeah. And again, we're not recommending slash endorsing this product. We're just saying that there's a possibility here. Now, obviously, our co-founder Dr. Hunsinger has and is utilizing this product in his facility, so he feels very comfortable with it. And so by association, we feel comfortable at least throwing this information out to you so you can do your own investigation on that. But, at least wanted to be able to get that information out. Mark was thankful that we would take the opportunity to put it out in the airwaves to let everybody know this. So, cool. Let's see. Han, you had a question that I believe was asked of you having to do with finishes. And I'll let you talk about that next, if that's okay.
Yeah, finishes. So we're going to step away and talk about the pleasantry a little bit. In your office, okay, eventually you're going to get down to the selection of products, materials, colors, pattern, enough of this stuff that can drive you crazy or at least to drinking. But picking out the type of finishes, the quality and value and all that stuff could be really fun, okay? So here are some of the things that we that I had been asked, encounter, resolve. For instance, if your office particularly in a snow state, you have sand, you have snow, you have rain, you have mud, you have salt. That's gonna come into the building with your patient, if not with your staff. So they said, you know, the material that do you opportunity to keep that, you know, to minimize the effects in your flooring product, particularly, is at the door. Okay, that is one of the plus why we always advocate for a vestibule. If you have a vestibule, human nature is they're going to stomp their feet after they come in, you know, to the exterior door, and before they open the second door. Okay, so they can get everything, majority of everything off between the two doors. If you don't have it, if you don't have a vestibule, they open the front door, and they walk in, they may stomp their feet once or twice, and then they just went to the front desk with the muddy shoe, and whatever's on their boots or shoes is going to be spread across the entire office sooner or later. So a great product that are used at your door, we call the walk-off mats. They come in different form, different grade. But look at, it costs a little bit more than carpeting. Years ago, when you go into a commercial building, they usually have a grate that, you know, like a mall or a large your commercial office. They have a grate that you stomp on, and that grate is usually recessed into the floor. It has to drain. So in the summertime, when there's no snow, and it just really, it could stink up your, you know, your vestibule, because there's no water in the trap. And in the last 5, 15, 20 years, a lot of the engineers, a lot of projects had moved away from that type of product or that type of system. So walk-off carpet is very similar to your carpet, except it's a high performance. It's like walking on a brush. Yeah, it does cost a little bit more, but it's maintained, you know, more than carpet, but it's maintained very similar in the same way. You know, when it get too dirty or too old, you just peel it off and put another one down. Okay, so we recommend from a finish, you know, from a flooring standpoint, have it at the door, the front and back door. When your staff come in or when your patient come in at the front door, when your staff come in at the back door, we normally, that's the two areas that we apply the walk-off carpet to. They serve a purpose. Okay, they're not put in place because they're the pretty thing, but they serve a purpose so that the rest of the pretty things inside your building can be maintained and remain pretty. Okay, so that's flooring.
Han, we're not talking about those mats that get rolled up and taken out every week or so by some service, right?
No, those are not. I guess some people might call it walk-off mats, but we're not talking about mats. We're talking about actual flooring. Those mats, besides the fact that some people use it because it's cheap, but it's basically a layer of carpet material on a rubber back. It somewhat holds a little bit of water, but that water got no place to go. So after it gets used a little bit, it gets pretty stinking ugly from an aesthetic standpoint. It's almost dangerous for the fact that people trip on them. It's a liability issue. I would recommend it not to be used in any facility, okay, unless it's the only thing that you have available. So from a standpoint of design, you know, if you're designing a new building, a new office, that would be the time to resolve all this designing problem out of your office rather than introduce, a floor mat. Even if they tell you, we can put your logo on the mat. Well, if your logo is pretty and it has mud on it, it's not pretty, okay? But it's dangerous. In my opinion, it's a dangerous application to have those. I wouldn't use the walk-off mat for anything. Does that answer your question? I feel strongly about it.
I think so. And that's okay. Now, the actual walk-off carpet that we're talking about comes in carpet tile? Does it come in sheet good? Yes. Well, what does it come in?
It comes in both. You can have it in a sheet good. Okay, what happened is they manufacture it in sheet good format. Okay? And if you want tile, they cut it. Very similar to if you want carpet throughout your building and it has a rubber back, you can get it in roll or you can get in tile. So if you get in tile, they just take the roll and they cut it into tiles. Okay? So some people feel that, you know, tile would allow you the opportunity to change the tile that are damaged individually. If you have it in a roll, then it will affect the entire roll. Nowadays, the technologies that deal with carpet or carpeting are really advanced. So the likelihood of being stained, permanent stains, stuff like that, is minimal. I think the biggest issue, now I want all of you, the building owner, to be honest with yourself, the biggest issue is the lack of maintenance, the lack of regular maintenance. So, you know, if you don't schedule a cleaning or deep cleaning of your office, maybe twice a year, it will look like it has not been maintained twice a year. Okay? But we find that the weakest area that and the biggest impact on the deterioration of the interior of the building is a lack of maintenance or improper maintenance. Okay? It's another layer of things that you can do to protect and prolong the investment that you've done for your building cleaning.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, the floor. Well, let's define finishes as well. I mean, finishes could be literally anything that is selected in your facility. So we're talking about everything from the flooring material in all the rooms. We're talking about countertops. We're talking about walls. We're talking about ceilings. We're talking about we're talking about window coverings, if there are, you know, shades or blinds. We're talking about door materials. What's the door made of? We're talking about door hardware. What would happen? Basically, anything that you can touch, or walk on, or see, falls under the classification of finishes. So it's a pretty large subject. So what other areas in finishes do you want to talk about, Hunt?
Here's another area that I think it aggravates a lot of the building owner. Okay, if your practice uses a lot of mobile carts. Okay, similar to like hospitals. You know, at hospital they have gurneys and a lot of things on wheels that they just wheel around. Now, you may have the world's best staff, okay? But I can guarantee you, if the staff did not buy or pay to build your building, they won't treat it the same way you do. Okay? That's why you had dings on the walls and dings on your cabinets and all that stuff. They're good at what they do, but when it comes to building, if they don't pay for it, they're not going to care for it the way you do. Let's say simply every building have walls, interior walls, okay? What's the difference between walls? There's a lot of difference. You hire a home builder. When people say to me, I got a builder, the first thing I thought to myself is, are they building your home or are they building your office? Because builders don't build commercial offices. They have contractors. Okay? So when you deal with homes, the drywall they put on the walls are usually half inch thick. In commercial building, because it's typically have to do with code, your drywall is 5/8 inch. So if you have two layers of drywall, they're 5/8 inch, one on each side of the stud, that is a quarter of an inch thicker. Therefore, they'd be able to be more resistant to impact. Okay? There's a small detail that you can do. It doesn't cost you but pennies, and it will improve the durability of your wall. It is acceptable, and it's a common practice. If you space your stud at 24 inches, you should have a 5/8 inch thick drywall. If you space it at 16 inches, you can go down to half inch. But again, like I say, we don't use half inch drywall in commercial offices because of building codes. When a stud spacing is 16 versus 24, even a 5/8 inch stud, 5/8 inch drywall, if you accidentally fall against the wall, you can crack the drywall. Okay, so I would encourage you look at having spacing of the stud at 16 inches instead of 24. You pay for a couple of extra studs in a run of wall, but it will strengthen your wall much more. Okay, in terms of I don't have the number that can tell you how much more, but if you take a stick that's 12 inches along, it's harder to break it than a stick that are 2 feet. Okay, so that little detail help to improve the quality and the sturdy of your wall. Just look at the surface of the wall. So you're going to move carts down the hallway and you bump into the wall. Standard drywall, you can ding it, you gouge it, and things like that. What do you do and how do you protect it? If you look at hospital facilities, they have what they call a wall protection system that they put on the wall to keep the wall from getting all banged up by gurneys. You don't, because your office, a dentist's office do not have gurneys. Hopefully you don't have equipment or your staff isn't very abusive and they run your cart into the wall. But if you're concerned and you want to upgrade the durability of the wall, you can cover it with a wall protection system. Or another easy thing to do is to use a high impact or abuse resistant drywall. It costs a little bit more, but it takes a lot more to damage the wall, to bang it up, to gouge it up. It's a specialty drywall, but we don't recommend you put it everywhere, but at least use it in an area where it's high traffic, like your clinical corridor, for instance, right? I have dentists that call and say, hey, I have the area between the wall, between the two treatment rooms. The end gets banged up all the time. What can we do? What can I do? What would you recommend? And things like that. A product that I'm familiar with made by a company called Acovin. It's a product that the hospital use. It's a very thick, almost like a thick wall covering that you can put into area where a lot of impact have occurred, and that will really protect the wall. If you really, really, let's say you kick the wall really hard, you'll probably break the drywall before you damage the covering on it. So there is product out there. You have to look at every area of your office where things happen and how you can resolve it or what product can remedy it. I think we probably can write a book on that. Okay, so in terms of wall, there is a number of ways to handle things. One of the areas that dental office have a lot of problem with is in the waiting room. Okay, chair rail just seems like it's something that people look at and go, oh, I don't want that extra cost. But if you have, naturally, in your waiting room, you're going to have chair. Okay, and if you have chair, you may have a back into the chair. More than likely, you will. And people are pretty abusive. They move the chair. They scoot against the wall. They rock on it, and they do all kind of stuff because, again, it's not their home. They might do that at home, okay? But it damages your wall. So a small you know, a small detail. It's a very, very small cost. Put a chair rail onto your wall to protect your wall. Okay. I was in a project one time, and it just happened to be in a demographic where people use a lot of hair product, men and women both. And when they sit in the chair and they lean back and they touch their head on the wall, they leave the oil on the wall. So if you're in, you know, if your practice in a demographic where people, you know, use a lot of hair product, that is something you probably should pay attention to, and then you can address that issue if that is something that is affecting your office. So we have walls. We just did wall, okay? Paint.
Well, actually, Han, there are two other important things on the wall material, specifically having to do with the drywall, the gypsum board product. The 5/8 gypsum board wall, the drywall, versus the 1/2 inch. 5/8 has a fiber reinforcement that's integrated into the board itself. So if you take a piece of 1/2 inch drywall and break it, and then you take a 5/8 piece of drywall and break it and look at the edges, you'll see these little fine fibers on the 5/8. Those are actually, that little fiber is actually a reinforcement that makes that wall so much stronger. The other thing having to do with the 5/8 versus 1/2 inch is the sound rating. The added mass or weight of the gypsum board, even though it's only 1/4 inch, dramatically adds to the ability for that wall to be to transfer less sound, especially the sharp sounds, those quick, sharp, high-frequency sounds between rooms are not transferred as easily in a 5/8 versus a 1/2 inch. So, you know, we've all been in hotel rooms that you can basically hear what's happening in the next room, like there's an open window. Well, more than likely, you'll find that they didn't potentially use a thicker drywall and or wall system and or insulate it properly. And so that's why it is, basically a low sound transmission assembly versus the thicker. So you go with the thicker material, you can realize a lot of advantages when we're talking about, you know, the idea of finishes. So Han, let's go to the next subject.
Yeah, very good point. Okay, so paint. Okay, let's go paint, because paint is paint, right? No, paint is not paint. You can go the cheap route. A lot of time, and we're learning some of this stuff as we go as well. All right. Right now, the trend is in the finishes of walls are like orange peel, which is in the old days we call it texture. When you texture a wall, even just a slight orange peel, they don't have to finish the joint very well. They don't have to finish the nail or the screw heads very well. And they can cover a lot of things, but that doesn't mean quality, okay? If you have two gypsum board come together and it's not taped properly because they depend on that covering of the orange peel, shortly after you occupy the building, you're going to start seeing cracks, okay? I'm seeing cracks in buildings where they don't tape the corner and things like that. So there's things that are being used as an accepted standard, but after the photo shoot of the building, you're starting to see the imperfections. As a building owner, that would drive you nuts. Just as simply a person passing through a building, it drives me nuts. Jim said to me earlier, I said before we came on air, is that there's people that they don't care, and there's people that are considered anal. I'm the extreme anal, and things like that I see. Okay, and it just drives me absolutely bonker. So anyway, it finishes on the wall. You paint. There is paint that we call high performance paint. There's all kind of paint that you use. Depends on what you want to do. Of course, I think most of you are aware. If you are a pediatric office and you have kids and you want the kids to be able to sign their name on the wall, there are paint to do that. Okay, you can make your wall, turn your wall into a blackboard, or if you hold conferences and you don't like the don't want to spend the money into the, you know, the projection screens and stuff like that, and you want to be able to write on the wall, they make it so you have a nice smooth wall that you can do the white marker board, the erasable white marker board on the wall. Now, for simple application, maybe to kind of, you know, make the wall into a feature wall using paint. There are paint systems that there's one company, there's a couple of companies that I think of. Zillotone is one where, you know, they make the color, the wall a multiple color and it's pretty durable, you know, durable to impact and stuff like that. Naturally, when you go look at high performance paint system, it costs more. Okay, so you can take a wall and make it into a feature wall by paint, okay? And you want, and because if it's something that are going to be in a high traffic area, look at you know, high performance paint. There is one paint that there's two other paint systems. There's one that I've used on an industrial facility, and I never disappoint. It costs a lot more, but imagine if you have a exterior building and you have a primary color that you want to remain sharp and contrast and pretty for decades. The company called Curveline, and the paint. If you put this, let's say you have a really really sharp red color on your logo and you want that to accentuate your building. This paint in the blazing sun of Florida, perhaps maybe even Texas, it remained the same without being chalked for 30 years. Okay, they have tested for 30 years and they use it at Disney. I've used it on facility and I'm quite impressed. You might not want to go that far with it, but you know, it's again, we're talking about product that you can use to meet some of your more, you know, higher needs. There is a product made by a company called, I can't remember the name now, Scuffmaster. And it's a product they use that, you, let's say you have a building that you're leasing or buying, and you don't want to tear down the tile wall. You know, Scuffmaster can be applied right over the top of that, and it would change the characteristic of the wall without the cost of demolitions. It is almost virtually a bulletproof paving system. Okay, but so you don't have to settle for that. The $30 gallon of paint by Behr or Clinton or, you know, Sherwin-Williams. If you want something that's a lot more high performance, that will last for forever. And this is particularly for pediatric offices, okay? There are things that you can use that doesn't cost you a ton of money and will protect your interior of your building in a tremendous way. When you have kids that love to, slobber on your wall, write on your wall, kick on your wall, stuff like that, there are paint systems that will protect your wall till the day you retire. And that, the only one that I can vouch for is Scuffmaster. And no, I do not have any stock in the company. Okay, I should.
Right. But this, now, what makes those, you know, what makes those products different than run-of-the-mill paint systems is their the ratio of solids to the medium that evaporates. And this becomes chemistry right now. And what happens with paint, you have a solid, which is actually what the color of the paint is, which basically glues everything together and puts a thin film of paint on the wall. And that's typically suspended in a liquid. And a liquid can be a lot of things, but that liquid evaporates after you place it on the wall, and that's why they say that, you know, it dries. And when they talk about no VOCs, they're talking about obviously stuff that they've formulated in such a way that, you know, basically doesn't have that intrusive odor, and off-gassing and all that kind of nasty stuff. But the chemistry behind paint is that the higher the solid content is, the more durable the paint is. So you have, it's a simple, you know, it's basically simple math. The higher amount of solid means you have more paint, solid material left after the medium evaporates and dries. And so that, along with the other thing, Han, we didn't talk about, and it has to do with the sheen of the paint.
Yeah.
There's actually several different sheens that paint can come in. You have the flattest, known as flat. It's very dull. It's a straight color. It has no shine to it whatsoever. And then you go through everything from eggshell to satin. There's a semi-gloss, and then there's a gloss. And there may be a few others in between, but that's the majority of the sheens that are available. And that is a result of how shiny the wall system is after the liquids have evaporated out of the system. Now, just like anything, you've run your hand over a surface that maybe doesn't have a shine to it, and it's rough, it's feels a little porous. Well, that's flat. Flat paint will attract dirt. It will hold dirt particles, and it's virtually impossible to physically wipe and clean, let's say, if you get something on it. Unlike the total extreme opposite of gloss sheen on your wall paint or trim or whatever we're talking about, is extremely slippery, which means that dirt has a harder chance of sticking to it. And if you go to wipe it down or clean it, you can easily clean it and get whatever's on there off of it. So, you know, we're talking about the ability to, you know, scrub air and clean facilities because of that. Well, obviously that has an impact on your wall. You know, do you want to be able to clean your wall? You can clean a wall that's got a sheen to it or a gloss to it a lot easier than you can one that is a flat surface. So you got to be careful. We definitely do not ever recommend putting flat wall paint on any commercial surface just because of that reason. You just can't clean it. And if you do, you would literally see, if you run a damp cloth across a flat surface wall paint, you literally see it. You'll have a streak in that wall, and I don't care what wall paint you use, you will see where that damp cloth ran across that forever.
More likely you will see. The brand name of the drywall underneath that flat paint when you wipe it.
Yeah, well, there's some good paints out there that don't peel off that fast. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You will see the effect of wiping and trying to clean off a flat wall versus you one maybe that's a semi gloss or a satin or such. So.
Right.
Okay, we've got a few more minutes on. What other finish do you want to talk about?
Yeah.
I know there's a whole bunch more.
Here's a tidbit for our Texan friends particularly, because they normally don't value architect's knowledge. Bathroom facility, okay? If you are on a tight budget and you don't have tile, but you can paint, okay? Paint it with an epoxy paint. So that way... I'm gonna go off topic for a second. That way, when Johnny wants to write his name on the wall, you can wash the wall. Okay. If you use flat paint, the dirt, the soap, anything that hit that wall will remain on it. So, use epoxy paint on your wall. It costs a little bit more, but you can clean it. You keep the wall from being porous. Okay, so that's just a useful tidbit specifically for area where you have sink. That could be, you know, walls like in your break room, but particularly your bathroom. That's one area that we always, if there's no money in the budget for, you know, better finishes, but just paint, use epoxy paint. That's it, Jim.
Yeah, and that actually is usually it's a semi-gloss, sometimes even glossy.
Because, you know, sometimes it being glossy isn't a bad thing, but cleanability is more desirable, in my opinion, okay? Once you are in the space and you get accustomed to the space, you won't notice those little details, but the fact is that you can clean it, it becomes less problematic, and it gives you more value and durability and all that good stuff. So it's a better investment. Jim?
Well, like always, we've run out of time and have so much more to talk about. So we may take this on to a second show and talk about other aspects of finishes in the future. Like I said, we are hoping to pull in an expert having to do with the air scrubbing technology and see if we can get them on next week or the week after. That's our hope and desire to be able to get that expert information out to you all, everyone. So with that, hopefully it was informative. You had an opportunity to learn something, and please feel free. Send those questions in. Go to our website. There's a place on there where you can click on and just email us those questions. We'll do everything we can to get them on the list and get them answered on the show. So thank you for spending some time with us. And obviously, you know, we're thinking about all you folks out there, and hopefully we together will get through this nasty business of the virus. On.
All right. Listen, I enjoy the time that we have together. Appreciate all of you for tuning in and spending the hour with us. My last message, don't touch your face. Until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.